Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great big vast world of ours. This is Cindy Freeman. You heard the song I Am Who I Am by True Trinity, the vocalist being Jillian Clark, the writers Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. And hopefully, technology does not play too much of a havoc today. A guest calling in from Canada, and with technology, you can't get on a Skype call until right at the top of the hour the show starts. There's another way we can try to get in that I've never tried, so we're going to try that and see what happens. And in the meantime, our guest is going to be, hopefully, Ryan McIntyre, and we will be talking to him about his organization. And seeing how, you know, he's helping kids out, basically giving them special opportunities. Well, he's fulfilling his own dream to be able to help them. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy there on that and how that all works. So I say hopefully he can get in to through this other link that has been set up with Blog Talk Radio. I've just never tried it before with a guest, so we just don't know for sure. I think there's a way, too, that I can call him, but I don't know what that is, so we'll have to try that as well. In the meantime, I'd like to tell you that if you'd like to get that full on AYM, you go to the website, trinity.com, T-U-E-T-R-I-N-I-T-Y.com. Purpose Talk Radio is brought to you every Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. With that, we bring you guests and subjects about living your purpose. Share that with the rest of the world, but guests. Anyone who wants to be of me directly through the email, Cindy at purpose.com. Send me to that as well by sending me. We do set up packages. And so much you a travel agency that works with maybe needs every agency. One of the trips we've got up and coming to the ghostly trip. So, cell phone, I'm not sure how the service is coming to the computer right now. I'm hearing that as well. Pin something else up there for y'all. So that's where you participate in decisions, especially if you do listen to the show archived. Can still add discussion and have him come on over there and carry on the conversation as well later. So, let's see. What other things can I do to...
Well, the joys of the internet, it appears we lost connection. So, we may have also lost our guest, the joy of long talk. I don't know. We're trying this again, and hopefully I can reach him some way through Twitter or call him or something else. But the unfortunate part is I'm not sure I have his number. But I can try and do that. And what we will do in a moment here is maybe put on another one of our wonderful songs and see about sharing that information instead. You know, the joys of internet, the joys of technology, and the joys of living on a purpose regardless of what might happen to come in the way. You know, we don't let things come in our way, because when we do, it just gets to be a problem. So, instead, we just go with the flow and see what happens on that. So, I'm going to try and connect with him via Facebook, or rather by Twitter, how we originally connected, and just go with the flow. And I'm glad I multitask. Start with. Purpose Talk Radio was created about 5 years ago. And it was a show back then that did a lot of reading. And, you know, we have changed the format since then. Or it is very seldom readings, very seldom that activity. But not because there's anything against it, per se. It's just because the people who were doing it aren't here. And I'm called, and that is my purpose at this point. You know, there's pieces, and every once in a while, we will get a guest, so we will get someone interested in that, and I find a way to do it. But it's not my calling, per se, at this point in time. But I've discovered that instead, my calling is to just help people, especially those that are told they can't do something for whatever reason. And to be able to tell them that, yes, they can. And you know how I do that and why I do that? Is because over the years, I've had that experience a lot myself. And, you know, there were things, people, places that got in the way of me being able to do what I thought I was destined to do. And I found ways around it. And sometimes it meant stopping, starting over, finding a new something to go with. And that's what happened recently. As many of you know, I was doing sign language interpreting, and then it's not working. It's taking too long. So I'm looking at a different career. And you know, I applied to graduate school, and amazingly, surprisingly, excitedly, yesterday I got the note that said I was accepted for this fall. Now, what's that going to mean? There's a lot of things, a lot of different preparations for graduate school and the undergrad that has been a part of my life. Add to that, it also is different from the associate's degree that I've had the last few years, where there's even less stringent requirements than there are for a bachelor's degree. So, you know, it's going to be a different world. My understanding is that 6 credits versus 12 and 15, being that it's full-time. Because, yeah, at the bachelor's level, 12 to 15 credits were full-time. And now 6 credits is all I need for my master's degree to be full-time. That's an interesting thought to me. Of course, you know, they double prices for what they do on a bachelor's. So I have to go through the whole system again, the financial aid, the Department of Vocational Rehab, to just working with whatever there is that's offered and going from that. And I don't know what that means. There's a tiny bit of fear, and yet at the same time, there's a lot of excitement. I just have to kind of go with the flow and see how it works. And work from that. So how does that happen? How do I work it with that? I don't, you know, it's scary and it's wonderful and it's awesome and there's a whole lot of things, a lot of emotions that go through with that. And I think that's the case with any kind of change in life. When we face change, there's a lot of fear. And I think a lot of times, at least I hope a lot of times, there's also some excitement in that. It's a time when maybe we're tired of something else. When we're, you know, we've been doing it too long and we're just bored. Hopefully it gives some excitement so that we turn things around and we look at them differently and get away from that boredom. I know my guest sent me a message, and I'm not finding it because it partially showed up on the phone. That's as far as it went. I didn't catch it fast enough, so it's not showing up. So we're going to hope we can continue to find him. Again, we'll just take a look and hunt down and see what we get here. And hopefully we can reach him through that. So I am going to play for you the positive news theme song that I like to share with people on a fairly regular basis. And why do I do that? Because I think positive news is important, and I think we get too much negativity and too much of people going, oh, I can't do it, I can't do that. And you know what? Anybody can do anything. And anything that we see, you know, gives us an opportunity to keep going somewhere. And what do I want to say about that? I don't know. What do I want to know? Somebody give me some ideas, huh? Just kidding. I would love to come up with ideas as to what you do when you're most nervous, most scared about a new adventure. And how do you turn that around to excitement instead of that fear? It would be an awesome thing to find out. So, for now, I'm going to put that song on, and hopefully we can get Ryan in here. So the song is called Positive News Song. Enjoy.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. Will be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it. There's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
Okay, let's try this again. We are the change, folks, and we are the change. Why? Because when these wonderful, crazy things happen, we don't let them fluster us. We just find a way around them, make the changes, and move forward. So I think I'm going to have our guest on momentarily here. If this all works the way it's supposed to, we will anyway. Hello, Ryan.
Hi.
Okay. I think we've got us both online here. And see how this is going to work. And hopefully I don't get the echo back and things because I can't do the headset in this at the same time here. So, our topic today and our guest is Ryan McIntyre. And we're going to discuss basically him being able to give special opportunities to change and at the same time being able to listen to his own dreams and way of helping them and moving the youth forward. So we are now back on, and hopefully those that were in the chat room have that information and can come back in. And I'm just kind of start this piece over, because when I do the archive, it's basically going to drop off the front of that joint. We'll get back in there. Anybody who wants to participate in this show, please do give us a call at 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. And or join us in the chat room at the bottom. If you scroll all the way down to the chat room itself, you can join us there. And, of course, the other way is over at Public Talk Radio Conversation. So hopefully all of that is clear, and you can be a part of the show with questions, comments, feedback, whatever you might like. And I hear the little birdies in the background. You must be able to be outside today, huh?
Yes, I'm outside at the moment.
Cool. That's good. I love the summer weather. I got a chance to join nature. I mean, we had Memorial Day here in the States and got to join a cookout and all that last weekend, so it was just wonderful. First time. Even last year, I didn't get out much, so I know what it's like to be able to get outdoors, and it feels great. So you're up in Canada, correct?
I am. Yes.
And you got summer there, right? At this point, or are you kind of still springish?
We're in a bit of a mix, actually. We had some cooler weather last week, and this week it's warmer. So it's okay. Kind of typical Alberta weather. We get cold 1 week and warm 1 week, and a warm weather the next week kind of thing. We also get Chinooks here, which is where kind of cool air goes over the mountains and makes it warm kind of thing. Interesting climate here, for sure.
It sounds a little bit like Wisconsin. If you don't like the weather, blink, and, you know, at least if not 5 minutes by tomorrow, it'll change. Yeah. So, good. We're kind of in the same parallel there. So what is you guys don't celebrate Memorial Day like they do in the States, right?
No, we don't.
It's just kind of a, do you have any type of service time when you honor your service men and women at all?
Yeah, well, we have Remembrance Day in the fall.
Okay.
And that's usually the time that we celebrate the vets.
Cool. Well, okay. Now that we've had the fun part, the chitting chat, let's get down to real business here. I'd like to introduce you folks to Ryan here. Like I said, it's Ryan McIntyre. And, you know, one of the things, I met him through Blab, on one of the Blabs that were there, which is now a video format, a little bit of like Purpose Talk Radio. But I'm just not quite in the market yet to be switching over to that. So we just keep it as, you know, a nice, calm audio. Because you guys don't want to see my face when things like the internet go down. We'll just keep it this way where we get the audio and can go with it. But Ryan is passionate about child and youth as an advocate and a researcher with a philosophy that everyone, regardless of their age, race, religion, sexual orientation, or socioeconomic status, deserves equal opportunities for learning and personal growth. As the executive director and founder of We Did It, and there's actually more to that name, and I'm going to let him explain it, Ryan provides a safe and nurturing environment which encourages young people to learn new skills while exposing them to new and unique opportunities that exist in the world around them. With more than 15 years of experience, Ryan has a broad and diverse understanding regarding the needs of children and youth and brings years of experience working under many successful titles such as mentor, program director, summer camp leader, instructor. Previously, Ryan conducted the first study in early learning and care in Alberta, Canada. His research gained extensive media coverage as well as immediate responses from top political leaders. In addition to his more prominent role as the executive director and founder, Ryan also enjoys serving as an educational assistant, tutor, as well as a home care provider for at-risk youth. So, I do now officially welcome you to Purpose Talk Radio, Ryan.
Thank you.
And the company name, the more lengthy name of it is We Did It School Age Care Society. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you've had a lot of experience with, like you said, youth and children, and it looks like especially at risk or, I guess I want to say disadvantaged, even though I know that's not one of those wonderful words people use, but it really is reality to it. So at what point did you kind of determine that this is what you needed to do? Was there like a turning point in your life or some specific event in your own life that said, hey, I got to do this?
I actually started out in the broadcasting sector from an educational base. And then after kind of going through the educational realm and noticing how challenging the whole sector field would be, rather, I decided to switch gears, and my folks suggested that I go into the child care sector, and that I have been really good with working with kids and young people. So that's what I did. Still there? Are you still there? Hello. Hello. Are you still there?
Yeah, hopefully you found something to talk about. I don't know. The phone said, okay, hi, bye. So, okay, see, what I heard you say is basically your parents kind of encouraged you to go back into this based on what they've seen with you and, you know, through all of your, probably your growing up working with other kids.
That's right.
Okay, so I was able to hear that part of it. So now, at that point, what did you plan to do as far as working with the youth and teens and kids? Was there something like, were you looking at education? Were you looking at, group homes? What was initially that plan for your work?
So more for educating youth, or children and youth rather. Basically, I started in the school age care sector. Not very many people are familiar with school age care in general, just because it's constantly referred to as kind of daycare. But it's really quite different. I deal with kids between basically the ages of 7 to 12, plus or minus 2 ages. So I had that passion for quite a while, over 10-15 years, with developing the skills of children and youth and helping them reach their full potential.
Okay. So what is, well, child care, I think, at least in the United States, we look at as kids 5, 6, maybe up to 7 and under. The 5, 6, 7-year-olds would be before and after school care as opposed to during the day. But when those kids get to be 7 years old, it's like, I'm not going to daycare. Oh, no, wait, man. You know, you can't make me. They need alternatives. So I'm guessing that's kind of where you came in with your program. Would that be correct? Or what caused you to do what you're doing now?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch your question there.
Okay. So here in the States, we have the daycare for, like you said, the young.
Okay.
So we're pretty familiar with what that is, you know, before or after school care to, you know, it's kind of a, they've tried to make it more of an educational atmosphere around here, but it's kind of a upper class, maybe I want to say babysitter with more planned activities and group activities, as opposed to just a babysitter with one kid, one or two kids at home. So, you know, when the kids get to be older, they don't want to go to that there. They want to go play with their friends. They want to do something else and end up on the street.
Right.
So I'm guessing you saw some of that, and that's where kind of you stepped in and said, I need to do something different, or what moved you forward to create what you have now?
So basically, So during my time in this sector, I noticed a number of gaps in the system and in terms of the type of care that children were receiving. So I wanted to focus on school age in particular because I was feeling that there was more holes in that area in comparison to daycares, where you'd kind of see infants up to age 5 in such environments. And I also recognize as well with the school age care, kind of backing on to your point there, at the age of 12, kids are no longer allowed in school age care programs in Alberta in general. So what I wanted to do at that point, rather, at that age time frame, if you will, kids, some kids may fall through the cracks by turning to drugs and crime and other kinds of things. And parents in general don't know what to do with their kids a lot of the time during that transition period. And, you know, it's so significant that time period when kids are just beginning to become teenagers, right? And learning new things and trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Right. It's a matter of exactly trying to figure out what's next for them. What should they do? And how, you know, how to do it and all of that. And, you know, I think when that happens, parents get lost, you know, as well as the kids trying to figure out what they can do and how they can do it with them, for them, give them opportunities, because, you know, they start learning to, the kids start, like, venturing out, but they're not kids anymore, so they don't have the kid thoughts of, you know, mom and dad are going to save me. Instead, they've got the thoughts of what can I do and what can I get away with, and what can I do
right.
to keep mom and dad away from me.
Right.
You know. So you started this organization, and it is called, again...
We did it. School Age Care Society.
Okay, so how did that, you know, I saw the name, and I'm curious where that came from and how you came up with a name like that, because it is a little different, but
right.
I see
so
it as success, so we did it success, you know?
Right, so the name was established because we did it as a common phrase that a lot of care workers and parents say to their kids when they accomplish something. We did it together. We made the apple pie. We made the brownies or whatnot. We did the craft. We did it. So that's where the name came from.
Cool. Okay. You know, and I think on the other hand, I've got my sister now that's telling my nephews, such as, you know, you're not going to get away from anything because I did it when I was your age. And that's kind of what I thought of at first, you know, when I saw that. Like, oh, we did it, so, you know, we're going to, we know what you're going to try and get into, so we're going to offer you some other opportunities. And I don't know if that ever went through your head on it, but that's one of the things that I kind of thought of as I saw it. So. And when you set it up as a society, does that mean it's a nonprofit, organization? What is your group and what does it actually do?
Yeah, so basically we set it up initially as a group that was a nonprofit and was limited by shares. So we basically started out as We Did It, LTD, pretty much. And then we decided to become a registered charity. So we decided to go with a society's status.
Hmm. Okay. I'm hearing all kinds of background now. Another conversation. Are you at the organization now?
No, we're actually just I'm just about to go. I'm going to be going to a partner meeting right after this interview, and I'm just at kind of the back of the coffee house where we'll be meeting.
Okay. And I've been known to meet at coffee houses with the show, too, so it's totally out of the realm here. So you have one location, several locations?
Well, currently, actually, that's what our campaign is all about. Through We Did It, School Age Care Society, got a partnership in January with the Shaw Charity Classic, which is a major golf tournament here in Alberta and Canada. And our whole goal with the campaign is to raise $15,000 to open our first facility in the fall.
Hi.
And one beautiful thing with the campaign is that all donations that are raised between now and September 4th get matched up to 50%. So that certainly provides you more of an incentive for folks to donate.
Okay. You don't actually have a location for it yet. You just have the business plan laid out.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So what kind of activities are you going to offer these kids?
What kind of activities are you offering, you said?
Right. What are you going to do to keep these kids off the street?
Yeah, so our model is basically structured and designed to expose kids to opportunities that they might not otherwise get to experience. So in saying that, we would like to expose kids to new learning opportunities that kind of take more of a traditional approach to things, such as, making chocolate pudding, learning how to bake, those kinds of things, painting on easels instead of on their iPads, which more and more of today's kids are doing. So my grandfather left me by saying in 1945 he used to build birdhouses, and I look at today's school systems and what they're teaching in schools, and they don't do that anymore. So perhaps if we can implement woodworking skills and those kinds of things, maybe John, who tried building a birdhouse, might want to go into construction when he's older.
Okay.
In terms of the adolescent component, one limitation that school age programs have today is that at the age of 12, kids are no longer allowed in school age programs. So that's the point, as we were talking earlier, that some kids might fall through the cracks and parents don't often know what to do with their kids. So what we like to do is implement some adolescent workshops that deal with leadership development, that deal with baking and culinary skills, as well as some literacy skills. So looking at literacy beyond the book kind of thing. So we might do some radio theater together, which schools commonly do in plays and stuff like that. We might also put together some stories and, put together drawings and put it on a digital computer or whatnot and make it more animated, those kinds of things.
Okay. And I know out here we have, like, the Boys and Girls Club and some of those, there's a group that in Milwaukee they call the Running Rebels, which is an organization that there's a lot of organized sports that's more rec related instead of school related, so more kids can get involved, that kind of thing. So do you have those kind of programs in Canada, or is this kind of an offshoot of that? There's more opportunity.
Yeah, so I think we're most similar to the Boys and Girls Club in that they do have a more of a secure space overall. Usually, at least here in Canada, they have a permanent facilities across the city and the province. And they have those kids have exposure to a kitchen and they have a gymnasium. And things like that. So the whole idea with We Did is really to not only provide a recreation opportunity for kids, which is really common in Alberta right now. It's just after school programs where it's just strictly play based. We want to provide a mix of things. So we want that exposure to the kitchen. We want to get kids in there, getting their hands dirty in a good way. And mm-hmm. also, of course, giving them options. Just additional options and opportunities besides just one area per se. The Boys and Girls Club is pretty identical to us. One thing that the Boys and Girls Club doesn't have at this time is kind of the adolescent component. As well as the meal program.
Okay. Yeah, and I know there's a lot of kids that especially in the summer, they like wandering the streets trying to find somebody to buy them lunch out here at least. And that's kind of unfortunate because, when they're in school, they get meals. And it's kind of a set program. If they can't afford it, then the family's got a grant, or the government's got a grant for them to be able to get meals and things like that.
Right.
That makes sense. to try to offer them something else. Now, is your program going to be year-round? And when are you looking to actually get it set up?
Well, if we are able to, currently what we recognize is the number one need within the city of Calgary is childcare within, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so one thing we recognize in Calgary is that the number one need in convenience centers right now is childcare. So our target right now is currently to try to seek a facility in a childcare, in a community center that we could utilize some space in. And also at the same time to take a lead in regards to trying to change the perspective of many community centers and how they're currently running the programs. One example of that, we have a municipal program in Calgary called Calgary Critical Hours, and basically that means basically the program is just a play-based program. There's an average of 80 kids in this program. And all it is just running around in gymnasiums. That's all the kids do. Basically, kids go to the program for free, but the provider pays about $20 an hour, I believe, to have that space. So it's not a real good use of time, and that's another reason why we did it was established. What else could I say along those lines? I temporarily lost my train. So, oh yeah, right. And with ratios, one thing I found within my research was that there is an average of 80 kids across Alberta that are in programs. And in my mind, that's just way too many. Kids at that point are being addressed and confronted by names not by names. So. At WEDA, we like to create a cap at around 40 kids, and that way all of our care workers can get to know kids for who they are, what they stand for, and can further cater to their needs by implementing great quality programming.
And that will be a year-round program? Well, obviously not. Will it in school, per se?
Oh, yeah, right.
Will that be an after-school?
Yeah, so initially we'll start with the school-age component, and then we'll hopefully roll out some summer camps as well.
Okay. So you're looking at starting by the fall, then?
Yeah.
And you guys have year-round school up there. I don't even know.
Well, no, the school, like the name, again, school-age care, basically one requirement on the charitable side is for our name to incorporate what we offer. So that's why school-age care is incorporated into our program name. We're not
mm-hmm.
affiliated with any school or whatnot.
Do you have your own school up there, or do you have...
I misunderstood your question. Yes, we have school runs generally from September to June, and we of course get the Christmas breaks and all that kind of stuff off. And there's also traditional schools as well, and they start at and some of them go through the summer.
Okay. Yeah, and I know we've got both here too, depending upon the different municipalities, and you know, a lot of them have like 1 year round school just for. In fact, it is usually more for the at-risk kids or the kids that need the extra learning because they forget the stuff over the summer. And I did that over college for crying out loud. You know, I was off for the summer. I'd go back in fall and said, what was that? What did you want me to remember? So I get it. So that makes sense, too. But it's good that they have alternatives then to in school year and summer.
Right.
So your organization, is it run by volunteers, or is it going to be paid staff? What's the plan on that?
So So it will be paid staff. Basically, one major issue which I recognized previously prior to when I did my study back in 2014 was that the majority there's quite a few organizations out there that are running on a for-profit basis, and basically how it works is when many day homes close and decide to cease operation, the parents who are running the show tend to go join these for-profit ventures, and which isn't a bad idea. However, they're less trained and less qualified, obviously, than educated individuals would be. Currently, after I did my study, there is 65% of organizations in Calgary, or in Alberta, rather, were for-profit.
Okay.
And the rest, and I'm getting a bit of feedback here, sorry. 65% were for-profit organizations and were also publicly traded on the stock market, and the rest were nonprofit and, of course, registered charities, as well as we did have about 10% of those that were municipally run as well. So within those, we also found along the same lines that the for-profits were growing at a much faster pace than the non-for-profits, obviously. But at the same time, the charitable organizations were being more were demonstrating they're more sustainable than the for-profits were.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and with and on the same lines, we also came across recently had a couple of years ago we had a program that got canceled. There's a funding program for for child care organizations. And we basically posed the question, what impact did the cancellation of these funds have on your organization? The for-profits had issues around training their staff, whereas the charities, side, their dilemmas were around purchasing new supplies for kids.
Okay.
So that was a piece, that was a significant piece in that we were able to recognize what the values and what the values of both groups were and where money was being allocated.
So how long did your research take? What did you do? What did you use for it?
So we surveyed around 1,000 people in the month of July and August, and we got a 40% response rate, and which is fairly good for the fairly good for the summer months, so basically what I actually had to do was Alberta doesn't really have a child care directory at the moment. So what I did was basically had to kind of go through the old-fashioned way of going through the yellow pages and picking out all the organizations and websites and whatnot, and just compiling my own database on these groups. And of course, then we sent out the survey. We closed the survey early September, I should say. And the findings were released on the International Day of the Child, which I believe offhand is November 15th.
Yep, I think somewhere in there. Okay. Nice. So what are you going to do to compensate for that? Okay, so you expect, based on your research, that you shouldn't have a problem with staff, but you may with supplies, if I understood what you said correctly. So are you factoring that in when you are looking for your funding? Or how are you going to overcome that?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch the whole question. Maybe you can repeat it for me.
I said, okay, so how are you? So I think, if I heard you correctly, that the profit companies struggle with training and keeping their staff, whereas the nonprofits struggled more with supply, correct?
That's right. And the reason why for-profits are for so much more focused on training their staff is that they come with, of course, a little training, being that they're, coming from the day homes, you know, their parents kind of thing. Here in Alberta, we recognize our staff based on three levels of qualification. And every level of qualification gets kind of a bump up in terms of their salaries.
Okay. And what will you do to kind of, now that you know that some of the issue is why, what will you be able to do to offset that? I mean, are you planning a higher budget or a higher part of it?
Basically here in Alberta, we're aware that there's an average of families paying $700 for school-age care and $1,300 on average for daycare. That would be qualified as ages 1 to 5. And that's a lot of money for single parents or low-income families. So what we initially did in our model was jot down that we'd be focusing on meeting the needs of low-income families or single parents. But since our establishment, we've been finding that there's more people in need, period, of childcare. When I looked at my study and the findings from that, we found that there's an average of 40 kids on the waiting list throughout the province. That's quite the number, and those numbers have certainly gone down. Certainly, I should mention that currently Alberta is currently in a bit of a recession right now, and certainly a lot of families are choosing to keep their kids at home and whatnot. There's perhaps less of a demand for care, but I think there's still more of a demand for quality and affordable care.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So what are you looking for from the public in general, whether we're in the Alberta area or not? What are you looking for?
Currently we're looking for help and reaching our goal, which is to raise $15,000 to open a state-of-the-art childcare facility here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And folks can help out by heading to our website, wedidit.schoolagecare.com. You can also find our website link on Twitter, wedidit, and that's number 3. On our website is a donation button, if you will, and through those means you can donate directly through the Shaw Charity Classic, and all funds raised will be matched up to 50%.
Okay.
And on more of a local scale, we're of course always seeking physical people to help out any way we can. So we're currently 100% volunteer founded and operated at present. So we're currently we're always looking for help for sure.
Okay. I'm going to give folks one more chance. If they want to call in and have any questions for Ryan here, please do so at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Or if you are on the show page and you hit the Skype icon, I'll call you in also, and you need to press the 1 so that I know you do want to talk to us. Or you can type something in the chat room.
I will have to go on about 10. I just want to mention I will have to go on about 10 minutes. I apologize that
yep.
We had some technical issues earlier, but I do have a meeting coming up here. So if
that's
we can just go
fine.
For 10 minutes.
I think we're pretty close on the end of it, as far as what I wanted to say to you. So I'm going to try
okay.
and put the contact information into, but I want to let people call in if they do have anything else. I'm going to try and put the contact information into the chat room on Facebook. Now, are you on Facebook?
We do have a Facebook page, yes. And
okay.
People are more welcome to chime in there. I also liked your page personally, so I'll be able to field some questions from that those means as well.
Okay.
You can always reach us on Twitter. You can always reach us on Twitter as well. We did it. Number three is our handle once again. So we always encourage those kind of conversations. Actually, on that note, it's been amazing. When we first started a campaign, we were about 200 followers, and now we're at 500 followers. So
nice.
We've been getting quite the response. So we're quite impressed with that.
Oh, good. Well, because what I want to try and do, like I said, if I don't get all of the contact information for you know incorrectly, please come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and make sure it gets posted in that link that's on the top. I just have, you know, the picture, the logo with you on it that I put out on the share so that you can put all your contact information there if anybody's got anything or any other comments that, you know, maybe we had missed in the process of this. So is there anything that you wanted to cover that I didn't ask you today?
Yeah, so there's just one quick topic, which is malnourishment in schools. I believe this is an issue across Canada as well as the United States, from what I've seen. And certainly in Alberta, we know in Calgary alone, there's 2,000 kids that go to school hungry every day. And what we're trying to do here in Calgary with We Did It is implement a meal program where kids will receive a hot breakfast before they go to school, as well as a bag lunch to take with them to school. This is a continuing, this is one stat from my research, not from my research, but this is one stat that won't go away. Currently again, Alberta is in a recession, so we're seeing, more and more people in schools, go to school hungry or, bring little to nothing to eat for school. So that's a real concern of ours. So, so again, by implementing our programming, that's one piece, that's going to be one of our staples is to offer that hot breakfast. Our big question is, you know, in daycares from infant to five, you see, you know, they're offering breakfast and lunch to kids, no problem. And universities, you know, there's a breakfast option as well. What's happening from grades 1 to 12? What's happening there? There's nothing. There's simply lunch programs and that's it. So so what are kids doing between, what are school-age kids doing between breakfast or between 8 a.m. basically and noon is kind of the question. And how is that affecting their learning? And, you know, is it a result of being labeled, maybe mislabeled because you're learning? Maybe you have a disability or a limitation. Due to, you know, due to that malnourishment piece, right? So,
right.
So yeah, that's one of our main major staples of our organization, the meal program, as well as our outlets and workshops.
Okay.
And the stable nursery environment within the school age space.
Yeah, I think you definitely have a niche there. Because like you said, you're right. You know, a lot of kids don't have it. There's a few schools here that do have a breakfast program. But in that case, the kids have to get there at something ridiculous. Like, you know, maybe school starts at 9 or 8:30 and they got to be at school at 6:30 or 7 if they're going to get breakfast. Well, you know,
right.
They're halfway ready to go home by then, you know, by the time they
right.
actually get to their lunch. And here they've got to
right.
stay awake for the rest of the day. So it's not the best thing to do. So...
Right.
So
I have to run fairly soon. Were there any questions on the field there? Or okay.
I don't see anyone. So thank you very much for being a part of the show. And hopefully
thank you so
people
much.
Take advantage. Yeah. All right. Take care now.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. Okay. So that was Ryan McIntyre with the organization We Did It. I have to look it up every time. We Did It School Age Care Society up in Alberta, Canada, where they are taking the concept, I think, of Boys and Girls Club and taking it a little further. Where they're giving the kids hot meals for breakfast and lunch and giving them more activities than those other organizations are at this point. He seems to have done his homework, and they're doing some fundraising, you know, with donations onto their website. they're doing other activities. I think they have a GoFundMe, too, if you check their website and what they're doing, and through Twitter. They're very active. In fact, that's how I connected with Ryan initially, was through Twitter. And that's something that, you know, I've had a lesson in, too, in doing this, because it was one of those social medias that I wasn't real familiar with. And I get a lot of people there because of these blabs that I'm a part of. So I encourage you to check out his site. Look for him. Either go through the Purpose Talk Radio page or through Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and I'll have links posted there. You know, all of that's available to you. If you can help out any way monetarily or physically, if you live up in that area, that would be great. Whatever you might be able to do to help, and even signs of support and sharing with friends or family that you know that might be in the area would be a great help for them. I do have a passion for kids and making sure that, you know, they get every opportunity they can to not only just survive, but thrive. There is so often where kids are told, you know, you need to shut up, you don't know anything, kids are seen, not heard. I don't believe that that's true. I don't agree with a lot of those premises that are out there. I believe that a kid, and especially a teenager, is a time when they can investigate and spread their wings a little bit. I'm not saying, you know, to go out and do the drugs and do all, but they need an opportunity to try different things and to reach out and to see what happens if, you know, just like a little baby or a toddler needs to be able to walk, try to walk, see how many steps they can take before they fall without mom or dad picking them up. You know, I think the teenagers need a different kind of walking forward and being allowed to see how far they can go before they fall. And granted, sometimes it's a little harder fall, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's harder, you just fall, and oops, you get a little bit hurt, and your pride sometimes gets hurt. And that's okay. We can't pick them up and save them from everything, because they'll never make it to adulthood. But at the same time, we can't keep them from everything, saying that they can't be a part and they can't ever grow up. And then you've got the opposite extreme, where some people just let things go and there is no structure in their life. We've got it all across the board. In the United States, Canada, I think every country has some version of it. If we give our kids alternatives, it's amazing how much they will want to those. If we give them rules, if we give them some standards, we are amazed at how they respond to that. The other day I was on the bus, and there were two teenagers. A girl got on at one stop, and she was fumbling around, and I didn't realize too late that she didn't quite have the money for the bus. She was missing a quarter. And then this guy got on behind her and offered to pay the money. You know, and the driver had already just told the girl to go ahead. And so the boy sits down in one seat, the girl is in another one, and he just kept staring at her, like he was trying to talk to her, trying to pick her up, or whatever it was. And I'm just looking at him. She's totally looking away from him. And so he's, you know, whispering something, saying some things, and she'd ignore him. And then at one point, after about 5 minutes, and I'm watching him, because something just didn't seem quite right. He reaches across, you know, and puts his over the top of the bar that's between them, you know, and reaches to the girl and touches her arm and starts pulling on her hand. And she pulls away and sits on the other side of the bus. And I glared him down, and I told him that he has no right to touch anyone. And he looked at me for a minute, and then he looked down. It was almost like nobody had ever told him that. It was just kind of strange, you know, and obviously the girl wanted nothing to do with him. I found out later that she did know him, and it did seem like that she knew him. And I said to him, too, I said, you know, I think you owe him an apology, and he tried to say I'm sorry, and she didn't want nothing to do with it. So that's how I found out later that they did know each other when he got off the bus. But then she turned around, and she was in a sweatsuit and a jacket, and comes down to a very, you know, a T-top, not a T-shirt, what do they call those? You know, with that spaghetti, about 2-inch thick sleeve things on them. And you could see her bra. You could see her. She was well endowed. And it was like she was egging him on. And, you know, what I said to her later, I said, that is not the way for you to act either. That is not, that's not going to be productive for either one of you. You don't want him to come near you, you tease. And, you know, and it's not, that's not the only stuff that teens do. I get that. You know, there's bullying. There's all this stuff that teens go through. And it's, you know, and sometimes it's a rite of passage. They have to go through it. They have to experience it. Come from everything. And we can't get them to stop everything because, like I said, they're going to try. You know, I've had family members that have gotten into trouble. Many of my friends have had family members end up in jail or drugs or whatever. It's going to happen. We can't. We'd love to protect them from everything. But if we can give them alternatives and things that they can do to reach out to other people and to have some solid role models, that's where it's really at. And that's what's going to help and protect them. Like I said, visit Ryan's website if you know anyone or can help out with them. It would be appreciated. If in your community you want to start some kind of program, maybe reach out to Ryan. Reach out to his research and find out how he got some of the information so that you can do something in your community. If you feel as impassioned about helping kids and teens, then go do it. Find some way to do it. Get involved in Boys and Girls Clubs. Find some way to do after school or tutoring or something. Because our kids need it. They're on the street. So, Purpose Talk Radio again is brought to you every Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. I like to leave you every week with an affirmation. Something that you can go out and take into the world, and when things start getting on you and try to bring you down, a statement that you can turn to and hopefully bring you up, and maybe one this week that you can even share with the team. But I don't know what to give you. Let's see. What can I give you for an affirmation? I think it can be that I am a role model and strength for the children and teens in my life. Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. I am a role model and strength for the teens I have an encounter in my life. So, children and teens, an encounter in my life. There we go. I will post that in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations link, and you can find that there. I have forgotten who my guest is for next week again. It's not on my calendar. If you would like to be a guest on the show in the coming weeks, please do get a hold of me. You can do so by emailing Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio.com, C-I-N-D-Y at P-U-R-P-O-S-E-T-A-L-K-R-A-D-I-O.com. Again, C-I-N-D-Y at P-U-R-P-O-S-E-T-A-L-K-R-A-D-I-O.com. This show is brought to you by True Visions Travel, a agency that specializes in travel for those getting individualized accommodation. Of course, also having individual and group trips domestically and internationally. We can help you plan whatever size that trip might be. The song that is our theme song every week is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. Their website is truetrinity.com, T-R-U-E-T-R-I-N-I-T-Y.com. And their song, I Am Who I Am, is sung by Jillian Clark, with the co-writers being Jillian, Rachel, Grace, and myself. As we turn into the next week, you know, it's June already. Kids are going to be getting out of school in some areas, in a lot of areas. You know, watch the streets. watch where you drive, and I encourage you to be a part of their lives. And as we do that, remember, they are who they are, just as we are who we are. So until next week, I wish you all soul blessing, and thank you for listening.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.